would ask you to take your Bible, if you would please. And I think if you would turn over to Romans chapter 6, that would be the place where we'll probably spend most of our time. You know, to be a Christian is to live a life that is different from anything outside of the Christian community. It really involves living in two different realms. And I want you to think of it this way. For example, in 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and verses 17 and 18, those two realms are defined for us. Actually, I want to just use verse 18 of 2 Corinthians 4. He says this, "While we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal." Two different realms, right? Two different realms are mentioned there. We exist in a realm that is seen and that is temporal. Here we are, right? I see you, you see me, and yet we're not always going to be seeing one another, right? But we exist in this realm of the seen and the temporal. However, when you look at that 18th verse, it becomes very apparent to me that we're supposed to live above the seen and temporal world. Though we exist in this seen temporal world, we're to live in the unseen eternal world. Think of a line drawn, okay? Below that line, the seen and the temporal, that's what we exist in. But we're to live above that line in the unseen and the eternal realm. That's hard to do. Because we're seen, and these bodies are temporal. And so it's a difficult thing to do. But I want to say this. The truth of the matter is that the seen and the temporal only has meaning if we live above that line, if we live with our eyes on the unseen and the eternal. And we're supposed to do that now, not when we get to heaven. We're supposed to do it now. I want to ask you this. Don't answer me, but answer this question in your heart. Are you or have you recently been frustrated with your Christian life? Do you feel or have you felt recently, you know, there's got to be something more to the Christian life than what I'm living, than what I'm getting? You know what's sad to me? It's sad to me that the vast majority of Christians know only half of the gospel. And I'll tell you what I mean. If I just preach to you that your sins are forgiven and you're on your way to heaven, I've only given you 50% of the gospel. Because when you get your sin forgiven, then you need to know how to live a Christian life. It's easy to, in some ways, it's easier to be lost than saved. Because when you're saved, if you're trying to live your life only off of that truth, I'm forgiven and I'm guaranteed heaven, you're trying your best to do what's right and to be a good Christian, and that doesn't work. So what we do, I'm forgiven and I'm on my way to heaven, so we tell ourselves, you know what, when I die, I'll finally be free of me. And then I'll be able to live this life. It's true. When you die, you'll be free. And you will not have to deal with sin anymore. But did you know it's also true that you have to die now in order to be free, in order to deal with the real issue, and the real question that every Christian needs to answer right now is, when did you die? When did you die? I had you turn to Romans chapter 6, and I want you to see this for yourself, and I know perhaps to some of you these are familiar verses. But he says, "Know ye not," verse 3, "that so many of us as were baptized into Jesus Christ," and don't let that word baptized throw you off. The word baptized there simply means to be immersed into Christ, to be plunged into Jesus Christ. "Know you not that so many of us as were plunged into Jesus Christ were plunged into His death? Therefore," verse 4, "we are buried by Him by being plunged into death, that like as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we should walk in newness of life. If we have been planted together in the likeness of His death, we shall also be in the likeness of His resurrection." Verse 6, "knowing this, that our old man," the old person we used to be, "our old man is crucified with Him, that the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth we should not serve sin." So I ask you the question, when did you die? And the answer here in this passage is simply this: you're already dead. According to these verses that I've just read, you're already dead. It happened in the unseen world. It happened in that eternal realm 2,000 years ago. You know, in the realm of the unseen, in the realm of eternity, there's no such thing as time. So you say, how could that happen? Well, it happened outside of time. It happened above the line. It happened in the unseen eternal world. It says in verse 6, "your old man," that is your unregenerate human spirit that you inherited from Adam, was died. It was cut off from that human spirit that was cut off from God and that was alive to the power of sin. That part of you, that unregenerate human spirit that was the source of your life before you died, before you were crucified, before salvation. It says in that sixth verse, that part of you died. Now think of it this way. Let's just go back 2,000 years in our mind. Let's say that we are observers around the cross. We're standing there at the foot of the cross on Golgotha. And we're looking up and we see the three crosses. And we see the one that's hanging there on that middle cross. And something inside of us just makes us know that that is not just a man, that that is the Son of God Himself hanging there, and that we come to the realization that He is hanging there in our place. He's dying for our sin. We understand that, we believe that, and we receive Him. And at that moment, we are then transported off of the ground into Christ's body, and we become participants with Him on that cross. We're crucified with Him. That's in the unseen eternal realm. That's what happened. But below that line, where we exist now in this seen temporal world, below that line, it doesn't feel real. It doesn't seem like that happened. But that's really your true condition, because eternal truth is the greater truth than temporal truth. your position, your true condition is that you, as the Bible says, if you're a believer, you were crucified with Him. And so you have to make a choice as to what you're going to depend upon is true. What God says here or what you see? Which realm are you going to live out of? The seen and the temporal, or the unseen and the eternal? God says in that unseen eternal world, you are crucified with Him. Has nothing to do with how you feel tonight. How crucified you might feel. Has nothing to do with that at all. It has to do with believing the truth that the Bible says took place. But here's what I understand, because it's my own experience. And it's this, folks, that unless the Holy Spirit of God enlightens your understanding, and that's one reason why Paul teaches us to pray that prayer, right? That the eyes of your understanding, your heart might be enlightened, that you may know. He says, knowing this, I understand by experience that only when the Holy Spirit enlightens your understanding to that invisible, eternal realm, that you would believe and accept the fact that you're already dead. And you'll start, when you realize that, when the Holy Spirit really makes that understandable to you, you know what you'll do? You'll stop trying in your flesh to live the Christian life. You'll stop trying to make your flesh do things that it can never do. Your flesh can't live the Christian life. It tries to. It mimics it. It looks like it perhaps to other people, but it's not really what's happening. It's just a fake. It's a fake Christian life when you try to do it. When you try to look like a Christian. So, when did you die? Well, the fact is, you're already dead. In that eternal, unseen realm, if you're a believer, you're dead. You were crucified with Christ. That's an eternal truth, an eternal fact. Second question is this. So what did you die to? If you're dead, what are you dead to? Well, it tells us right here that in verse 6, when your old man, when that unregenerate spirit that you were indwelt by, that caused you to be enslaved to sin, was crucified, certain things lost their power over you. And the first thing that he tells us lost its power over us in chapter 6 is sin. Sin itself. The source of that power that produced sins in our life and dominated us. When it says that we died to sin, it doesn't mean that we don't sin anymore. It means that we died to the source that produces sins and dominates us as sinners. We died to that. We died to sin. You can see that in verses 1 and 2. What shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? God forbid. How shall we that are what? Dead to sin live any longer therein? And there's other verses that in this chapter that fit into that very framework. But we're dead to sin. What did you die to? Well, number one, you died to the source that produces sin in your life. And you died to sin that otherwise dominates your life. You're dead to that. You're dead to the source of sin. You're no longer a slave to it. You're no longer under its dominating power and rule in your life. What else did you die to? Well, in chapter 7, the next chapter, the first few verses, it becomes very clear that you died to the law. Look at verse 4 of Romans 7. Wherefore, my brethren, ye also are become what? Dead to the law. You become dead to the law, he says. In verse 6, But now we are delivered from the law, that being dead wherein we were held, we should serve in the newness of spirit. So what did you die to? You died to sin, but you also died to the law. In other words, in fact, he tells us in these first four verses that not only did we die to the law, but now we're married to Christ. The relationship with the law has been permanently broken. We have no relationship to the law. You know why? Because the law has served its purpose. When you become a believer, the law no longer has a function in your life. You know what the function of the law is? The law is for lawbreakers. The law reveals to a lawbreaker the law that they broke, sin. The law reveals what sin is to a person. Romans 3:20 tells us that. But also, we read in Galatians chapter 3 and verses 24 and 25 that the law was our schoolmaster to bring us to Christ. But once we come to Christ, we're justified by faith and we're no longer under a schoolmaster. So the law isn't for believers. The law is for unbelievers. The law is not for us. Not for New Covenant believers. It already has fulfilled its purpose. And the actual fact of the matter is, he tells us in Romans chapter 7, Paul has a problem because he's a believer and he's still hindered by the law. The law is holy, but the law hinders that Christ life because the law automatically triggers in us the flesh that tries to keep the law, that tries to live up to it. And so thankfully, we're dead not only to sin, but we're dead to the law. Instead of observing a code of law, we have the indwelling Holy Spirit that gives us God's desires and the ability to carry out God's desires. Third thing that we are definitely dead to, according to Galatians chapter 6 and verse 14, we are told that when we were crucified with Christ, we were crucified to the world, and the world unto us. So we're dead also to the world. We're dead to sin. We're dead to the law. We're dead to the world. What is the world? What are we dead to as far as the world is concerned? We're dead to the mindset of this world. That is, we're dead to living life below the line in simply the seen and the temporal. We're dead to desires and grasping after things that this world says is important and that we have to have. We're dead to the world. In fact, the mindset of the world is the total opposite of the principle of depending upon God. The world says, depend upon yourself. The world says, be self-dependent. The world says, be independent of God. But the Bible says the opposite. We're dead to the world. We're dead to that mindset, that way of living. But there is another thing that's very important that we understand that we're dead to. In Galatians chapter 2 and verse 20, Paul says, I am crucified with Christ. I am crucified with Christ. So, we're dead to sin, we're dead to the law, we're dead to the world, but we're also dead to self. I'm crucified with Christ. You know, it's impossible to live the Christian life. And if you ignore the fact that you are crucified, that yourself was crucified with Christ, as long as you think you're still alive, you're still going to be trying to change yourself. You're going to be trying to live this life yourself. You got to get self out of the way if you're ever going to have the Christ life. And for self to get out of the way, you have to believe the fact that you died to self. You see, living the Christian life is not about giving up things. It's about giving up yourself. It's about giving up your rights. It's about giving up your reputation. What do you think you have a right to? Why do you think your reputation is so important? You die to self when you become a Christian. You're crucified with Christ. You die to yourself. And so often people think, being a Christian, that means I may have to give up this. I may have to get rid of that. No, you have to die to yourself. That's what it's about. It's a big difference. So, let's go to the positive side. We talked about when did you die? What did you die to? The third thing I want to talk to you about tonight is who lives in you. I mean, when your old, regenerate, unregenerate spirit that was indwelt by and enslaved by sin was crucified, what happened to you? Well, going back to Romans chapter 6, it becomes very clear that you were given a new human spirit. Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 24 says that you have been given a new spirit that is created in righteousness and true holiness. So when your old man, that unregenerate spirit, was crucified at salvation, God gave you a new human spirit. And you know what He put in that new human spirit? Himself. He put His Holy Spirit in your regenerate human spirit. And so the Holy Spirit is in us, and He's in us to live that Christ life through us as us. Okay? And as I said Sunday, that does not negate your human personality. But rather, it is that the Holy Spirit of God lives the life of Christ in you, through you, as you. In other words, who you are becomes the means through which the Holy Spirit expresses the life of Christ. How do you live it? You don't. You simply don't. Because you can't. Romans chapter 6 and verse 10 says, "For in that he died unto sin once, but in that he liveth unto God." In other words, Jesus is in you, and He naturally lives His life unto God in you. You know how Jesus lived His life on this earth? It becomes very clear when you read the Gospel of John that everything that Jesus said, everything that Jesus did, everything He did what the Father told Him to do, directed Him to do, enabled Him to do. You know what Jesus was doing in His earthly life? He was simply letting the Father live His life through Him. That's what He was doing. And you know what we do? We simply let Jesus live His life through us. And that's what the Holy Spirit and our human spirit is there to do. So Jesus in you naturally lives His life unto God through you. That's Romans 6 and verse 10. So three questions that I want you to answer in your heart tonight. Who is the life? Who is the life? The life is Christ. And then secondly, where is the life? The life is Christ, and the life is in you. You're a believer. And so if Christ is the life and Christ is in you, the third question then is this: who are you? Who are you? Jesus is in you, and Jesus is in your life. Jesus is your life. He lives in you. You are His vessel. You contain His life. You are the container that His life is in. And because of that, you know who you are? You're holy. You're blameless. You're righteous. You say, oh, wait a minute. You weren't with me today. You don't know what I said. You don't know what I thought. You don't know what I did. Okay. That's the seen temporal world. But we're talking about how God sees you. In His sight, He sees you as blameless. He sees you as holy. He sees you as righteous in that unseen eternal world. And guess what? That's reality. That's the truth. And you need to understand that, or your condition will never ever reach that. You need to understand that that's the truth. That's who you are, and because Christ is in you. If you really see it, you'll let Jesus live the life, and you'll count on the fact that your old self is dead. He'll live His life through you. He wants to do that moment by moment. You see, it really comes down to this. We know Christ lives in us, right? But I think we're under the impression that He is in us to help us. It's not what He's in us for. Christ does not live in you to help you, but Jesus is in you to live as you, to live His life as you. He's not your helper. He's your very life. Big difference. You need to recognize that. So, I want you to ponder these things. And I want you to recognize the fact of your death, what that entailed, your life, and what that entails, what that makes you, how that life is lived. Let's take a moment and prayer. Heavenly Father,